Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. This is Shane Vanderhart, and I've got my partner in excellence.
No, I am your comical sidekick, remember?
Yes, because he... During the kind of the bumper, I saw him in the corner of my eye making, he was like doing like this interpretive dance thing to you know, the...
No, I wasn't. Yeah. It's not.
I saw him raise his cup up to us and you know, raise a cup of coffee.
No,
and
so the interpretive dance.
By the way, Ryan is very artsy that way, I have to say. If you didn't know that side of him... That's a side of him you really should get to know. It's pretty
interpretive. It's pretty dance.
Yes. Yeah. You do that in church too, don't you?
Oh, please. Oh boy. That's it. You're done, Vanderhart. You're toast. You're dead to me.
Well, hey, in other news, we are going to be moving south eventually. We don't have an exact
date. Things have already gone south, pal.
Physically, geographically south.
Oh.
So basically, the station will be erecting a tower in Huxley, KTIA, Truth Network, 99.3. The frequency will not change. However, our location will change. Basically, it'll move the signal further south and encompass all of the Des Moines metro area and beyond. Ron, how far south does it go? Yeah, okay. Ron doesn't know. Ron, ignorance is bliss sometimes, right? Yes, and he's shaking his head, yes.
That's why I'm blissful
so
all the time.
For the purposes of our, mainly, it's just so, this is cool because even though people have access to us online via live streaming during the time we're on, as well as the podcast, caffeinatedthoughts.com, this will give us the opportunity for potential additional listeners. You could pretty much, you can get the station in a lot of places in Des Moines, but I know when you get further to the south side, it becomes weaker and weaker signal. This will provide a nice strong signal. You won't have to hold your, antenna a certain way to pick us up.
So yeah, but Shane's still going to be wearing his tinfoil hat.
Right,
when we broadcast.
Right. Well, it helps us, helps amplify our signal. So also, I want to mention too, this is another thing that's important. Is that we're actually going to physically, the studio is going to move. And I'm excited about this one. As much as I love Boone, and Boone is a great town, it's nice not to have to come up here on a weekly basis. It'll be nice not to have to come here on a weekly basis to record.
You're assuming, of course, that they're going to tell us where the new studio is at.
Yeah, well, they put pictures of it up, so at least I know what the inside of it is. It's construction.
You're assuming we're coming back.
Yeah.
They haven't told us that.
Yeah, right. It's like, well, we're moving, but I'm sorry, Vanderhart, you're not coming with us. So we're going to be at the Merle Hay Tower, and I'm excited because, generally speaking, when we have guests on the show, we generally just encourage them to call in. This will hopefully encourage, if people are local, they'll encourage them to actually come in and be in studio guests. And I think that'll be fun. So not that it'll change our show all that much, but, I'm looking forward to the change. And we'll have to give a shout out to Pulse, formerly 99.5, now 101.7. Their move kind of helped make that possible, changing frequency. There's a lot of FCC things that had to go in the works before this was ever possible. So this will be good.
No, this is a good deal. Yeah. Potentially, I guess, another 200,000 listeners.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very cool deal, and we're looking forward to it, of course.
Right, right. And just have to say, it'll be, the sponsor, readings we do. Hey, this might be a good opportunity for you if you have a small business in Des Moines. You'd like to have some, reasonably priced advertising there. So give me a call. Number's on the website. So
Shameless
plug. Yes. I have no shame, so no problem. Hillary Clinton was in town in Iowa.
Really?
Yeah. She was driving her, no, she probably wasn't driving, but she was in the Scooby-mobile or Scooby van. That's what she called it. I didn't see a picture of this thing. First of all, I'm sorry, it was black, but it was kind of Scooby shaped, Scooby van shaped.
But it didn't have psychedelic colors or anything?
No, even though it should.
Probably so.
What I was wondering is, you know, when I first heard about this, why a van, and why do you feel like you had to drive from New York to Iowa? Here's the thing. I get what she's trying to do as far as having this, you know, person. I'm of the people, but most people understand if you were running for president of the United States, time is an asset. I don't expect presidential candidates to drive to every single state they campaign in. I mean, to drive a ridiculous looking van. I'm assuming there was probably some bulletproof, especially bulletproof glass. I mean, she's a former first lady and former secretary of state, does have Secret Service detail. I think they were grandfathered in where I believe the Clinton administration is the last administration that gets Secret Service for life. Every president after President Clinton only gets it for 10 years after their service is complete. So she'll,
I didn't realize they'd changed that.
Yeah. That was a law that was changed, which makes, because it used to be presidents generally didn't live that long after leaving the Oval Office. But now we've got some younger relatively. I mean, Clinton, I think, was in his 50s. When he was elected president. President Obama will certainly be young. George W. Bush was not very old either. Looking at some of our prospective candidates. Now, Hillary Clinton, I think she actually may be one of the oldest candidates right now on either party. I don't know that for certain, but you know, generally the crop of candidates they're getting younger and younger. Obviously, there will be a bottom threshold since constitutionally you have to be at least 35. So, which could you imagine a president younger than 35? No. You got to actually have to have a little life experience and wisdom.
Well, look, getting back to your original point about this, yeah, it's a gimmick. It's a bit of a stunt.
Right.
But one thing you know about the Clintons is they never do anything without doing some focus group research on the front end. It's clear that what they were trying to do was address a particular problem.
Right. Well, she can't.
Particular image issue.
2008, she kind of came in like a rock star, only did big venues, like thousands of people, actually would flew in a private jet around the state. And then I think they even had a helicopter at one point, which, again, you know, practically speaking, there would probably be some point in the campaign where every campaign, if you're going to be effective, you will need to utilize small aircraft at some point because you just don't have the time to travel by vehicle unless you're Rick Santorum and you have the Chuck truck.
That's what she's apparently trying to do.
Obviously, you're limited by what your campaign can afford, too.
But she's doing some retail politics here.
Kind of.
Well, it's her attempt at trying to do a Rick Santorum.
Right.
That's what it is.
She actually needs to do it for real. So, just saying.
Aren't you even going to cut her a little slack?
No, because
I mean, no private jet. This is a huge step
until
for
she
Mrs.
actually
Clinton.
Shows up to a campaign stop, and one person shows up, and she had no idea who that was going to be. Then she's campaigning like Rick Santorum.
I said this is her attempt.
Her attempt. Yes.
I mean, this is as good as it gets, buddy.
Well, yeah. What did Hillary Clinton have to say? Well, the media was saying, oh, well, we don't know where she stands on Common Core, even though most reasonable people looking at her track record, and if you're familiar with the Dear Hillary letter written by Mark Tucker, indicates. I mean, she believes in centralized education. So,
well, hello, give me a Democrat that does not believe in centralized authority at every level of life.
Actually, there are some that are against, that do believe in local control in education.
For education.
For education. Yeah. Some. Not you
the
know.
Default position for all of them generally, has to be centralized.
Generally, a lot of Democrats dislike Common Core because of, you know, what it's doing to teachers and how you're linking it to assessments, which is linking it to evaluations, and the teachers' unions aren't happy. Well, Clinton's got herself between a rock and a hard place on Common Core because really nobody's happy with her right now. The campaign arranged an education roundtable her first official event after announcing her candidacy at the satellite campus of Kirkwood Community College in Monticello, Iowa. And toward the end of this roundtable conversation, Diane Temple, who was a high school teacher and also an adjunct instructor at the college, said, "I think that we're very blessed to live where we do, where education starting very young through high school. This community college, we have all these opportunities, and we're so fortunate here. I worry that not all of America gets to experience this treasure that we have." Kind of rolling my eyes a little bit. Too bad you can't see that on the radio. "I think Common Core is a wonderful first step in the right direction of improving American education, and it's painful to see that attacked. And I'm just wondering, what can you do to bring that heart back to education in the United States? You know, what can we do so that parents, communities, businesses, and believe in American education, that teachers are respected and our colleges are respected, and we offer quality education to all Americans throughout the United States?" And I was thinking, I can answer that. Your last part of your question actually answers the rest of your question. If you offer quality education, you'll earn respect. Anyway, I didn't realize colleges were necessarily disrespected. But anyway, here's what Mrs. Clinton said. "Wow, that is a powerful, touching comment that I absolutely embrace. You know, when I think about the really unfortunate argument going on around Common Core, it's very painful because the Common Core started off as a bipartisan effort. It was actually nonpartisan. It wasn't politicized. It was trying to come up with a core of learning that we might expect students to achieve across our country, no matter what kind of school district they were in, no matter how poor their family was. There couldn't be two tiers of education. Everybody would be looking... at what it was to be learned and doing their best to try to achieve that. I think the reason why Iowa may be more understanding of this," obviously she hasn't talked to activists here in Iowa, "you have had the Iowa Core for years." That is not true. Iowa is actually the last state that adopted state standards. And anyway, she said,
it's the next couple sentences where she really raised my eyebrows.
Yeah. You have a system of, I must have messed up transcription, but plus the Iowa assessment tests. I think I'm right in saying that I took those when I was in elementary school. You know, Iowa tests, so Iowa has had the testing system based on the core curriculum for a really long time. Not true. And you see the value of it. Not true. You understand why it helps you organize your whole education system, blah, 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 blah. And then she actually addressed her actual question. But your question is a really larger one. How do we end up at this point where we were so negative about the most important non-family enterprise and the raising of the next generation, which is how our kids are educated? Education is a non-family enterprise. Did you realize that? Did you know that, Brian?
Oh, that part doesn't surprise
me.
No,
misses it takes a village to raise a child.
Well, that goes back to my original comment, pal.
Right.
Centralization and control. That's what it's always been about.
Well, her status flag is flying. Let it wave.
But listen, you really need to go back and emphasize what she said earlier, because this is classic. "I think I am right in saying I took those." She's talking about the Iowa assessment tests.
So I've been the Iowa test of basic skills.
No, that's what she refers to as the Iowa assessment test. Okay. "I think I am right in saying I took those when I was in elementary school." Now, you and I both know that was the Iowa Basic Skills.
Technically, same thing. They just changed the name.
But my point is, I'm trying
to actually give her some credit here.
Well, I'm saying she's talking about something that was in place decades ago. I mean, going back 50 years or whatever.
Right.
and saying, this is Common Core.
Right.
Well, that's what she's saying.
Right. And I'm and going, she doesn't have a clue what she's talking about, because we didn't have state standards until they weren't mandatory until 2008. And the Iowa assessments didn't actually align to the Iowa Core then slash Common Core until after 2010. So, Mrs. Clinton, if you're going to open your mouth about Iowa's education system, at least know what you're talking about. But you don't obviously have a clue
anyway,
what you're talking about.
I just
about.
Thought that was a classic.
Yeah, I thought that was... I picked up and I was like, oh, I can't believe she's saying this. Anyway, oh, but there's more. There's more. Hillary Clinton's campaign will accept money from lobbyists and PACs after saying in Monticello... We don't have time to run the clip. I had a lovely clip for this. We need to fix our dysfunctional political system and get unaccountable money out of it once and for all, even if that takes a constitutional amendment. But let's go ahead and take money from lobbyists who suddenly now you're going to have to be and PACs. And you know what? I understand Republicans will be doing this too. Actually, I'd hope nobody takes money from lobbyists. That just, to me, that's just unethical. But everybody's going to be taking PAC money. But don't come in on a high horse saying you're going to do this, you support this, but oh, by the way, I'm going to take all this money. And then when you got the whole deal with the foreign the foreign donors and everything that's smacks of what's the word I'm looking for?
I have no
scandal
idea.
Scandal with when it comes to fundraising in the Clintons. And by the way, we're out of time. We're going to have to bring it up next. We'll continue on with Hillary Clinton because there's much, much more to say about her Scooby-Doo van ride across Iowa.
This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and we'll be back.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
You've prayed, but it didn't do much good. You still have the same problems, and God is not helping. Maybe you're not praying, but simply worrying to God. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. God says for us to cast our anxieties upon Him, but too often we cast them like we are impatiently fishing. We toss them out for Him, but then we reel them back in to see why we hadn't caught anything. Better imagery is to cast them out as if we were feeding bread to ducks on a pond. The bread is out of our control once it hits the water, and there's no getting it back. God wants to offer you peace by taking your anxiety. Your best option is to learn to stop worrying to God and start trusting Him. To learn how to trade anxiety for peace, call Crosswalk Ministries at 515-635-5465 or online at crosswalkcounseling.org.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
And And welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Travis Riswold, the Modern Woodman of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029. He can help you find the life insurance you need. So, back to Clinton. Clinton's, you know, she wrapped up her, she's going, doing her Scooby-Doo van trip across to Iowa. And she comes to LeClaire, Iowa, where she has a spontaneous coffee shop meeting where these young people sit at her table and they talk. And she's meeting with everyday Iowans. And not so much. It was totally staged. It was totally staged.
Everyday Iowans.
Everyday Iowans, who happens to be a person who interned for the Democratic Party of Iowa, a Planned Parenthood employee. And let's see. A member of the University of Iowa College Democrats, President Carter Bell, happened to be in LeClaire, Iowa. Just happened to be. Also, the mayor of LeClaire just happened to be there too. And guess what? These people just happened to fall into a car driven by one of her staff members.
They just happened to fall into the car. Huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I just, you know, not really. But this was so stinking planned. Now, okay, to give the Clinton campaign credit here, again, you know, I know they're trying. It's an image thing, and they're pretty good at doing stuff like that. And also, Republicans have probably been guilty of doing this too. So this is not. This is a nonpartisan problem, but when you get caught, it's kind of embarrassing. Also, let's see.
Not to the Clinton campaign.
No, they have no shame. Also, Clinton didn't leave a tip when she was in Ohio, when she's at Chipotle. These are the little things. This is why I'll never run for president or really any elected office, because they're looking at every little. I have to admit, I don't leave tips at Chipotle either, because they don't actually serve me. I actually have to, you know, order my food, wait for the food to be brought to me, or not to brought to me. I actually have to take the food myself. So the only thing that they do, bus your table, I believe. I usually go to Pancheros, not Chipotle. Sorry, Chipotle, but I don't hit these spots very often. These guys need to pay advertising revenue, darn it. But anyway, you know, I thought that was interesting. When your presidential campaign, just my advice, free advice to candidates. If you're a presidential candidate or any candidate, you never know who's watching.
Everything is scrutinized.
Everything is scrutinized.
Absolutely everything.
Leave tips. If you see a tip jar, throw a little something in it. Okay?
Preferably money.
Money, yes, yes. Money. Don't be a cheapskate. Also, hey, Hillary Clinton flies coach home. That would have been an interesting experience to be on that plane, wouldn't it?
Do you think maybe that was staged? Think that was staged?
Oh, I can't imagine they filled the entire plane up with people that knew, you know. No, I don't think that was probably staged. I mean, the fact that she flew coach, yeah, that was deliberate, but I don't think you can.
Yeah, but, okay, hear me out. I can't believe that she's actually going to sit down in some random seat, having no idea who's going to be seated next to her. Did not happen, I guarantee.
Well, that can't happen because the Secret Service wouldn't allow that to happen.
My point is, her entourage probably filled up half a coach.
Yeah, that could be.
I mean,
except the poor Secret Service people who actually have to, you know, they have to make sure the Scooby-Doo vans get back to where they need to go.
She
also carted her own luggage when she was in Omaha. She had this private fundraiser thing that was closed off. People had to turn in their cell phones and their cameras to be able to go
in. It's got
to
be the first time in 25 years that she's picked up a suitcase.
Probably. Anyway, she had a car waiting for her and a police escort in Newark when her airplane landed. So it didn't last too long. Anyway, moving on, we've got a clip I want to play. Marco Rubio was being interviewed by George Ramos, or Jorge, however you pronounce it. He's a host for Univision and Fusion. I mean, he's got tons and tons and tons of fans, and he's actually made, we're going to talk about a little bit later, but the Time top 100 most influential people. He's on the list. He interviewed Marco Rubio, because Marco Rubio on Monday announced his candidacy for president of the United States.
Clip's about a minute and a half.
Yeah, it's a minute
long,
and a half, so let's go ahead and roll it.
You believe that a marriage should be between a man and a woman.
Yes.
But if someone in your family or your office happens to be gay and they invite you to their wedding, would you go?
Yeah, if there's someone that I love that's in my life, I don't necessarily have to agree with their decisions or the decisions they've made to continue to love them and participate in important events. No, I'm a member of the Catholic faith. It teaches that marriages, after you get married the first time, if you've been divorced, you can't be remarried. And yet people attend second marriages all the time. Ultimately, how you treat a person that you care for and love is different from what your opinion is or what your faith teaches marriage should be. And I would point out that we live in a free society. If people want to change the definition of marriage, they should petition their state legislature, and they can have that debate in a political arena. Who I don't think should be redefining marriage is the court system.
So the question is if you would attend to a gay wedding.
Yeah, but somebody in my life that I love and care for, of course I would. I mean, I'm not going to hurt them simply because I have a disagree with a choice they've made, or I disagree with a decision they've made, or whatever it may be. Ultimately, you know, if someone that you care for and is part of your family has decided to move in that in one direction or another, or feels that way because of who they are, who they love, you respect that because you love them. But again, as I said, I'm a member of the Catholic faith that teaches, for example, that divorce is wrong. But if someone gets divorced, I'm not going to stop loving them or having them a part of our lives.
Yeah, so.
A new litmus test has been born.
Yes. Rick Santorum was asked a similar question. I don't have the context exactly when that happened, but he said no. Marco Rubio says yes. Obviously, a lot of people are saying, no, it just disqualifies Marco Rubio. Personally, I have to admit, if I had a family member who was homosexual and they were getting married, it would be tough. But standing on principle sometimes means making tough decisions. You know, I think we'll probably have a variety of answers when we talk to people in the church. I know my position is I could not go.
Yeah, I couldn't either.
Because that would be, I would communicate, I love you, but I think this path you're on is wrong. You know, I hope we can continue to remain, you know, friends or have a good relationship with their family member, but I can't go and celebrate this with you because I think this is celebrating sin.
Exactly, but here's the thing. How in the world did this... It seems to really be developing this way.
Right.
How does this develop into the, you know, some sort of litmus test?
I don't know.
That all these candidates are now going to have to answer.
Right. And you know what?
I don't get it.
It's because it's just trying to, you know.
I am interested in what the candidate says with respect to marriage and with respect to, you know, particular views of you know, the courts or the state or the federal government or whatever.
Right.
I'm interested in hearing about that. This just looks to me like another opportunity to trap somebody and exclude
somebody. And make liberals go wild. And if they answer a certain way, make certain parts of the, you know, conservative camp go crazy.
Yep. There's some of that going on already.
Right. Yeah. I've seen on social media, I'll never vote for Rubio.
Exactly.
And it's like, you know what? Until you've actually been in that boat and had to face that choice, and I'm not talking just acquaintance, I'm talking say you had a son or a daughter come out as homosexual. I couldn't even imagine being in that boat. That would be so difficult. That I feel for parents that are, you know, who are Christians who vehemently, you know, they believe that marriage is between a man and a woman, and they end up having, you know, being in a situation like that.
Well, I agree that would be a dreadful situation. Wouldn't change my position in the least.
No. But
again, I really think that the thing that's important here is that we look at this question to a political candidate and just say, what on earth is going on here?
I mean, right. And I
wish, I don't care. I really don't care what Marco Rubio says on that score.
Right.
I don't care.
Right. Me too. And here's the thing. Again, candidates, some free advice. Just as kind of take the Rand Paul approach, you know, as far as how I'm thinking about how he responded to certain questions on abortion, because they're trying to pigeonhole him. You're like, oh that crazy right winger. Say, how is this relevant to how I would govern? Oh, it's not? Why are you asking the question then?
Yeah. I'm very interested in hearing what he says about the nature of marriage. I'm interested in hearing about what he thinks should be done with respect to either the federal courts,
right,
or federal legislation, the Constitution, the states.
Right.
I'm very interested in hearing all that.
And
this I think is just another stupid distraction for people to fight and carry on and make accusations about.
Right. And here's, he didn't. And there have been people complaining, well, he's not coming out, what he believes about marriage. Well, here he just did. And I hope people heard him, because I think he said a couple of important things. One, he says, I believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. And the second thing I thought it was important that you mentioned, this is not a matter that should be decided by the courts.
That's right.
And that is the key thing to take away. That's all you need to know from your president, is that he does not support federal courts intervening in state, state laws.
Because that's where this issue's been lost.
Right.
It's been lost in the courts.
Right, exactly. Well, anytime there's been, I don't want to say every single time, almost every time now that there's been a vote on, I think Minnesota's the lone exception, the people have voted down same-sex marriage. Will that change in the future? It seems to be that we're headed down that track.
Plus, we had federal legislation, too.
Right. And here's the thing. While I disagree with same-sex marriage, I'd have a much easier time swallowing the whole process if it was decided by our elected officials in the proper constitutional way. Will I still disagree with the law? Absolutely, I disagree with the law.
Mm-hmm.
But at least I couldn't fault the process, and at least it wouldn't be wouldn't turn our judicial system into. We have suddenly a bench of black-robed tyrants, that's what they've become. The judicial branch literally is supreme in the United States, both at the federal and at the state level.
Yep.
And now, if I were Mr. Ramos, I would have had a follow-up for Rubio. So what, as president, would you do to address that particular
Bingo.
Issue?
Hello,
it's
Jorge.
One thing to say,
that's
it
the
be...
question you needed to ask, and you failed to ask it, apparently.
It's good to say... Hey, it shouldn't be decided in the courts. Well, Senator Rubio, how would you address it? Would you go the Cruz route of saying, hey, we're going to, I'm going to push. Obviously, the president can't do all that much other than who he appoints or she appoints, if Mrs. Clinton or Carly Fiorina becomes president. Who they appoint to the bench is vastly important, and that's something you could say, this is a matter. I want to make sure I'm putting up a strict constructionalist who does not believe that the Constitution is a living, breathing document.
Yeah. There's two things. The first is what you just mentioned, which is, who are you going to appoint to the bench?
Right.
The second thing is leadership.
Leadership. Are you going to have a bully pulpit? Also, are you going to encourage Congress to limit the court's ability to, because they have the constitutional, Congress has the constitutional right to limit the Supreme Court's authority and jurisdiction over certain issues. They can do that. And
it's just not happening.
It's not happening because we roll over and die when the court makes a decision.
We all bow.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, that's an opinion. It drives me nuts when I hear people say, it's the law of the land. No, it's not. It's a court opinion. And they have a right to their opinion. And because it's their job to interpret the Constitution, however, it's Congress's job to pass laws. Constitution 101, folks. Thank you. You're welcome. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
You've prayed, but it didn't do much good. You still have the same problems, and God is not helping. Maybe you're not praying, but simply worrying to God. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. God says for us to cast our anxieties upon Him, but too often we cast them like we are impatiently fishing. We toss them out for Him, but then we reel them back in to see why we hadn't caught anything. Better imagery is to cast them out as if we were feeding bread to ducks on a pond. The bread is out of our control once it hits the water, and there's no getting it back. God wants to offer you peace by taking your anxiety. Your best option is to learn to stop worrying to God and start trusting Him. To learn how to trade anxiety for peace, call Crosswalk Ministries at 515-635-5465 or online at crosswalkcounseling.org.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart. And Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Crosswalk Ministries with Scott Owen, who offers biblical counseling and conciliation. Give him a call at 515-292-7141 or check out crosswalkcounseling.org. We've come to our time where we're just going to, well, we've been actually talking news all the whole episode show, but we want to specifically just talk about some particular news items. For instance, Time just released their top 100 most influential people, and Brian, I am saddened to say that you or I are not on the list.
Well, that's okay, given some of the folks that are on this list.
Right.
This is not necessarily a list that I would want to be a part of. Now, here's the thing. Time always sets forth the notion that to make the list of 100 the top 100 most influential people, or even to be on the cover,
right,
you don't have to be a positive influence. You know, it could be somebody really bad,
right?
And that's all well and good.
Yeah, but still, well, influential doesn't necessarily mean good or bad. It's just
but as I look at some of what they have down here. I mean, if this either
looking
time,
at a whole world population that they chose these particular people.
Yeah, either Time is completely out of their minds, or we're even more doomed than I thought we
probably
are.
A little bit of both.
I mean, here's a couple of classics. We got Kanye West and Kim Kardashian.
Yeah,
they're on this list.
Yeah, incredible.
And maybe here's the scary thought: what if Time is right?
That they are.
What if they are really within that sphere of,
well,
of influence?
I know when Kanye West says something during an award show or on Twitter, it gets blown up on social media. So is that influence? Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe.
Whatever. I'm just scratching my. And then they got this idiot who's the leader of Boko Haram.
Yeah,
we got him on there.
I read the description of that. Most Americans don't know, most people don't know who this person is. Then why is he on the list?
Well, and here's what you have to, the conclusion you have to draw is, if I go out and kidnap a whole boatload of people,
yeah,
or I slaughter a whole boatload of people, I'm influential.
Yeah. Right.
I'm not just a maniac out, you know,
no,
killing, raping, and kidnapping. I'm influential.
I mean,
I don't get that.
If they can somehow demonstrate that unfortunately he's winning hearts and minds and more and more and more and more and more and more people are joining him, then okay, yeah, I could see that. But I don't necessarily see that being the case. And I think especially, you know, it's one thing as a terrorist organization to go after, you know, the America, the great Satan. It's quite another to, you know, kill people in your own country. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine how that's winning hearts and minds.
Well, and then we also have Senator Elizabeth Warren on here, and you and I were talking talking between segments, and I think she's enormously influential in the Beltway.
Right.
I don't dispute that.
Well, I mean,
there's a lot of people on the left that really love her.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody west of the Beltway, I mean, talking about flyover country, I doubt anybody even knows who
right.
she is.
And she's this, Senator, do you say if she's from Massachusetts? She's the one that fudged her ancestry. That was kind of interesting.
You see the memes on Facebook where she's wearing a headdress.
Yeah. So, anyway, I guess that was influential. She got made fun of a lot on social media.
No, seriously, if you go to your garden variety gathering of college students, really anywhere west of, you know, the East Coast, nobody's even going to know who this woman is.
Right.
That's my opinion. You can tell me I'm wrong.
No, I agree. And so the thing that really jumped out at me the most was basically there were only two religious figures on there, Pope Francis and other gentlemen from Scotland, Magnus McFarlane Barrow, who started an organization called Mary's Meals. I'm sure it's a great organization. I'm sure he does good work. But noticeably absent, evangelicals. Not a single prominent evangelical on the list that I'm aware of. Maybe some people on the list who are evangelical, I just didn't know. But nobody know, you know.
Yeah, well, the evil Koch brothers made it on here.
Yeah,
though.
Well, yeah, that's true. And I was waiting to see if Benjamin Netanyahu was going to be dropped off, but they did have him on the list. You got that. But I just know Franklin Graham. He's pretty well known and does a lot of good work around the world. Operation Christmas Child, I don't know.
Well, again, we were talking between segments. Are you really telling me that this stupid list of people here are more influential than, say, Rush Limbaugh?
Yeah.
The question isn't whether you agree or like the individual. It's a question of influence. Are you really telling me that some of these folks have more influence than Rush Limbaugh? Yeah, I don't think so.
No. Des Moines Register goes after homeschoolers again. They just hate homeschoolers. It's amazing.
That goes without saying.
Yeah, and basically you think maybe they were going to bring up, their editorial board was going to bring up example of how kids weren't being educated and they had valid proof, or maybe bring up instances of child abuse. But no, here's kind of, I think, the linchpin, what got the editorial going again. Des Moines Register reporter recently caught up with a couple near Tipton engaged in independent private instruction, which basically means you don't have to turn in anything, you don't have to do anything for the state in order to homeschool. They said they wanted their children to learn values and study science without lessons about evolution. They no longer have to fill out a single piece of paperwork about their homeschooling. They say they have a little more freedom. And here's how they respond. They certainly are free. In fact, an unknown number of Iowa children are now experiencing the freedom of being in a completely unmonitored, unaccountable education environment. This flies in the face of state attendance and truancy laws intended to ensure children are educated. Iowa youth are required to attend school from about age 5 through the school year they turn 16. But some children are now exempt from that requirement. They can't be truant because they are automatically assumed to be meeting the compulsory attendance law.
This
is unfathomable from an educational perspective. An Iowa child may never learn to read.
No!
Her entire science education may consist of watching a cow give birth.
Stop.
Forget algebra.
If
a parent thinks counting butterflies is all the math a teen needs to know,
we're all going to die.
Do you have proof that this is happening?
Well, of course it's happening. They're not monitored.
Right.
That means it's happening.
Right. And let's... This presupposes that kids are being educated well in the public school system.
Yeah, like down in Atlanta, right?
Right.
What did that judge give some of those guys down there? I think there were like 10 of them, and two or three of them got off on plea deals.
Right.
And the judge just wanted those guys to own up to what they did, which was they were fudging grades and you know, giving people passing, you know, when they should have failed and so on and so forth. And there were like 7 of the 10 that didn't take responsibility for what they did. And so he threw the book at them. And I think one of them at least got 20 years.
That's incredible.
Now, they're not going to serve all 20.
No.
But you see what's going on here. He's saying, I want you to take responsibility for what you did. They said no. And he said, well, I'll fix you.
Right.
20 years.
And they also, yeah. Des Moines Register also brings up the example of the 6-year-old child. The 6-year-old child may never exist as far as educational purposes are concerned. Here's the thing, Des Moines Register. That could happen under competent private instruction. That could happen if homeschooling wasn't even legal, because you have to first register a child for school. A parent under any circumstance could withhold a child, and the school district wouldn't know. So,
It can't be that difficult to get them off the grid.
And I have an article at caffeinatedthoughts.com that I kind of break this apart more in depth. But honestly, they're not just against independent private instruction, because some of their criticism is of the homeschooling law that preexisted independent private instruction as well. They would like Iowa to regress back to this archaic education law where homeschoolers weren't allowed or severely restricted. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
You've prayed, but it didn't do much good. You still have the same problems, and God is not helping. Maybe you're not praying, but simply worrying to God. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. God says for us to cast our anxieties upon Him, but too often we cast them like we are impatiently fishing. We toss them out for Him, but then we reel them back in to see why we hadn't caught anything. Better imagery is to cast them out as if we were feeding bread to ducks on a pond. The bread is out of our control once it hits the water, and there's no getting it back. God wants to offer you peace by taking your anxiety. Your best option is to learn to stop worrying to God and start trusting Him. To learn how to trade anxiety for peace, call Crosswalk Ministries at 515-635-5465 or online at crosswalkcounseling.org.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part this month by American Principles Project. They are going to be hosting in here in Des Moines, Iowa next month on May 16th, a Practical Federalism conference. Basically, they had one in New Hampshire back in November, and it's just a lineup of speakers who are addressing different topics and how the federal government has creeped into our lives and have limited, basically restricted freedom, have trampled on state rights. So they look at things in education, energy policy, land ownership, because in Western states, they're dealing with eminent domain all of the time. So anyway, this would be an interesting conference. It's going to be held at the Community Choice Credit Union. We don't have the itinerary is not locked down yet, but Caffeinated Thoughts is proud to be a co-sponsor of the Practical Federalism Conference happening next month, and we'll be sharing more with you as time gets closer. But we just wanted to go check out AmericanPrinciplesProject.org, and there's a link to the Practical Federalism Conference to learn more.
Yeah, APP, friends of the show.
Absolutely.
Good folks there. Yep. Steve Lonigan, who's always a great interview.
Yes, he is. Very much so. And we've had Emmett McGroarty on our program as well. And then, full disclosure, I do work with them as well. So you get to hear from American Principles Project guy all every single week. Isn't that awesome?
I get to hear it even more.
Yes, you do. And you're blessed because of it. So
is that what that is? Okay. And now we've come to my favorite part of the show. We are about to share a story that is truly unbelievable, yet you know it must be true because...
You can't make this stuff up!
Okay, this is from Wagamon, Australia. We get this courtesy of UPI.
You can stop right there just based on the name of the town.
Yeah, conjures up all kinds of visions of Crocodile Dundee and everything else,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, Australian authorities said a man was hospitalized after he drunkenly ate a glass beer bottle. Ate a glass beer bottle during a family gathering.
I'm glad they added drunkenly.
Well, yes.
Otherwise, I think he has some sort of mental disorder.
Northern Territory Police Superintendent Louise Jorgensen said police received an emergency call just after 9 p.m. about a man at a family gathering in Wagamon who chewed and swallowed a glass beer bottle. And then he went for a lie down. I wish I could
Is that what they call naps down under? Okay.
He went for a lie down. His family then called police and St. John Ambulance, and he was taken to Royal Darwin Hospital. Jorgensen said the call was one of 500 made to police between 3 p.m. and 11 p.m. Wednesday. She said drunken hijinks, such as the bottle-eating man, are a drain on police resources. People are dismayed when we can't respond to their jobs immediately, but this is why. Because of all these other jobs that are coming in. Well, you know... You got all kinds of stuff happening. You got the odd guy that eats a beer bottle.
All I have to say, if this has become a plague on Australian resources, that goes to prove a point that perhaps maybe there isn't enough to do in Australia. You know, that life is so boring there. I'm just going to eat this beer bottle. Go for a lie down.
And it doesn't say in here, you know, unlike Roscoe the dog, remember that one? Unlike Roscoe the dog where the vet went in and you know, did what he did. It doesn't say here what the hospital had to do for this guy.
And I'm kind of thankful for that. Because, yeah, you can't let that. They probably had to just operate and take it out of his stomach.
Yeah, you couldn't let that travel through your entire digestive system.
No. I don't know if would glass actually digest some?
Oh, no, surely not.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah.
Plus, I'm kind of wondering what the inside of the guy's mouth is like.
Ugh, gosh, yeah.
Anyway, this proves the stupidity and depravity of mankind, folks.
Yes, it does. And we don't have any inspiring quote of the day to follow that up.
I just gave one.
That was
it.
Oh, okay. That was by Brian D. Myers. There. See you
later.
See
everybody.